translation and Srila Prabhupada's purport. The devotees of the Lord are accustomed to licking up the honey available from the lotus feet of the Lord. What is the use of topics which simply waste of one's valuable life? Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Krishna and his devotees are both on the transcendental plane. Therefore, the topics of Lord Krishna and of his pure devotees are equally good. The battle of Kurukshetra is full of politics and diplomacy. But because the topics are related with Lord Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita is therefore adored all over the world. There is no need to eradicate politics, economics, sociology, etc., which are mundane to the mundaners. To a pure devotee who is actually related with Lord, such mundane things are transcendental if dovetailed with the Lord or with his pure devotees. We have heard and talked about the activities of Pandavas, and we are now dealing with the topics of Maharaj Pariksit. But because all these topics are related to the Lord, Sri Krishna, they are all transcendental. And pure devotees have great interest in hearing them. We have already discussed this matter in connection with the prayers of Bhishmadev. Our duration of life is not very long, and there is no certainty of when we shall be ordered to leave everything for the next stage. Thus, it is our duty to see that not a moment of our life is wasted in topics which are not related with Lord Krishna. Any topic, however pleasant, is not worth hearing if it is not dovetailed of its relation to Krishna. The spiritual prana, Goloka Vrindavan, and the eternal abode of Lord Krishna is shaped like a whirl of a lotus flower. Even when the Lord descends to any of the mundane planets, he does so by manifesting his own abode as it is. Thus his feet remain always on the same big whirl of the lotus flower, which feet are also as beautiful. His feet are also as beautiful as the lotus flower. Therefore it is said that Lord Krishna has lotus feet. A living entity is eternally by constitution. A living entity is eternal by constitution. He is so to speak to the whirlpool of birth and death due to his contact with the material energy. Freed from such material energy, the living entity is liberated and is eligible to return home back to Godhead. Those who want to live forever without changing their material body should not waste valuable time with topics other than those relating to the Lord Krishna and his devotees. Omagyanti mandasya gana gana slakaya chaksurumeta mena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupakana Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayine Nivishesha Sunivadi Pastatacha Tarine. So, actually we can understand from this purport, in the practice of Krishna consciousness, we have to utilize everything properly. Is based on Prabhupada's lecture. We have to see that everything in connection with Krishna, Nibandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Uchate. We have to learn to see everything in connection with Krishna. We have to avoid those things which don't help us to connect to Krishna. Overeating, and over collecting, talking mundane things, taking one association of materialist people, which is not. What is the benefit about talking about Prabhupada in his lecture about Mr. Nixon if it doesn't relate to helping us in our spiritual life? If he's if he's not going to help us in our life is very short. We can die any time. Just like now, Prabhupada mentioned in his lecture, it was 1974, such and such date, and his day has gone, so you can't buy the day back once the day is gone. Even in millions of pounds, you can't buy that day back. So like that. So from this, we can understand how time is very valuable. Sanatana Goswami says in his Stavamala, this is his commentary on 10th canto of Bhagavatam, for those who have materialistic eyes, I will give them distress in a form of time. Those whose eyes are meditating on him within, he will give them happiness in the form of super soul. So, this is why so that's one of the reasons Prabhupada says in his conversations, he mentions this point that in schools they teach all these topics on different histories and stories and different things. But all these things they teach in modern day school is based on, it's not like they're self-realized people the stories they're talking about. They're talking about stories, people have four defects and imperfections and but Prabhupada mentioned in his conversation that if the children just understand Mahabharata is based on families, dynasties, families within families, it's all covered over, it's all based on that. And then Krishna comes in at some point in the Mahabharata. So by understanding Mahabharata, we can satisfy our emotions. Just by understanding Mahabharata, we can fulfill our emotions. So that's one. The Srimad Bhagavatam also contains Mahabharata. He gives stories on it, but in Mahabharata, he gives even more detail about it. The Mahabharata is written for people who are less intelligent, the women, children, Shudras, these kind of people who can't relate to too much philosophy. It covers all these topics in somewhat detail. There was interesting undertones given in Mahabharata to show how because the Bhagavad Gita is also within that's the main part of Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is explaining about the eternity of the soul, how he is the Supreme Lord and temporary nature of the material world, how it's full of miseries. With the Mahabharata you find also because the Mahabharata is based on Kshatriyas. There were, I think it's in the Mahabharata it mentions that 2 billion people died in the Battle of Kurukshetra. So all these were powerful fighters. And within that episode of Mahabharata, it shows how those who were open for Krishna's mercy, they went back to Godhead very easily. Where those who were not open for His mercy, they had to suffer more. The karmic reactions. There's a few instances given on that, how also we can learn from Mahabharata how Krishna is the protector of His devotees. Although He protects everyone, but for those who have surrendered to Him, He gives special protection. And example is given, just like the king is, he's protecting the everyone in the state or in the kingdom. But those who directly serve the king, He gives special protection, like that. So a few instances are given in Mahabharata to show how Krishna gives a special mercy to those who take His instructions seriously. There was an instance of Dronacharya, how he was fighting very rigorously on the Battle of Kurukshetra. He was killing many of the Pandava warriors, killing many of their soldiers. So Krishna told the Pandavas, we have to somehow get Dronacharya to put his weapon down. Once he put his weapon down, then battle, he won. Then we can gain over the Kurus. Krishna told King Yudhishthira to tell Dronacharya that Ashwatthama is dead. But King Yudhishthira, he was more into morality. So he hesitated to tell a lie. Although Bhima killed an elephant called Ashwatthama. So when King Yudhishthira told a lie under what Krishna had said, after saying Ashwatthama is dead, he said the elephant, and at that point Krishna blew his conch, so they didn't hear it. Dronacharya didn't hear the word elephant. So he put his weapon down. And but because Krishna, Yudhishthira didn't follow Krishna's instructions, his chariot touched the ground. All that time his chariot never touched the ground. So that's one point to note, how by going against Krishna's instructions, we create our own misfortune. And also, King Yudhishthira had to see hell. That was another point behind it, by not following Krishna's instruction. So, there was an instance where Sataki asked Krishna the question in Mahabharata. Well, he asked Krishna the question that Karna had got his dart weapon from Indra to kill Arjuna. So how is it that Karna never used that weapon immediately to kill Arjuna? That question asked by Satyaki to Krishna, how is it that he never used it? So Krishna explained that at the end of every battle which was happening, at the end they were discussing how to use his weapon, how Karna should use the weapon. When the time came to use it, Krishna would take the memory away from Karna, how to use the weapon. So that shows Krishna, he gives knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. So He took the memory away from Karna, how to use that weapon when the time came. And the other instance to note in this story is that generally the living entities in this material world, they're very emotional in their approaches. There's a difference between the emotional platform and spiritual platform. Emotional platform, you're too concerned about the ones you know, family and society, the friends and everything. But there's a difference how Krishna sees things and how we see things. So when Bhima's son Godakach, right? He had a son Godakach. Godakach, yeah. So Godakach was killing, he was killing the what happened, yeah. So he was killing the Kaurava armies to a big, large extent, you know, like really big time. So Duryodhan told Karna to use that dart weapon on Godakach. So when he used that dart weapon, when Godakach died, Krishna was happy. But King Yudhishthira wasn't happy. Because Krishna asked King Yudhishthira, why are you not happy? He said, well, he took us to the, he looked after us in the Himalayas. He took us to different places and he looked after in different places. He took us, showed us different, he was assisting us in killing the demons and different things. And so Krishna gave his vision on this. He said, actually, I would have killed him ages ago. But the thing is, because he wasn't favorable to the Brahmanas, he didn't respect Brahmanas so much. So, but I used him, I kept him alive because it was to save Arjuna's life. So that shows how Krishna protects his devotees. He maneuvers things in different ways to protect his devotees who are fully surrendered to him. So that's another instance to show how Krishna is a lover of his devotees. He's a friend of the poor-hearted, Dinabandhu. He protects his devotees. So, so he says in Brahma Samhita, Goloka Namni Dhamitalesya Devi Maheshu Haridamo Steshu Teshu Tete Prabhanisya Vena Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That first is Devi Dham, which is the world we are living in. Then there is Mahesh Dham. Then there is Goloka, which is the highest. So so even within the earthly region where Krishna has the holy dhams are manifest, these holy dhams are not affected by the material energy. They're not affected by the money, because Krishna's pastimes are eternally going on. I was reading the 11th canto yesterday, the destruction of the Yaduvas, right? How they, and he was explaining there how some inauspicious omens were created within Dwarka. So Krishna told the Yadavas to go to Prabhas. But in the commentary, he mentioned, Jiva Goswami comments that Actually, in the holy places, no inauspiciousness can come because Krishna is eternally present there. But Krishna created the inauspiciousness because some of the Yadavs were demigods and they were not fully open for Krishna's mercy. So it says anyone who dies in Dwarka goes back to Godhead. Like that, it's mentioned like that. But Krishna felt they were not qualified for that mercy. So he asked them to go to Prabhas. In this way the fight took place and they gave out their bodies. Because even Uddhava asked Krishna the question that it seems like you could have counteracted this curse by the brahmanas yourself, but you allowed it to happen. Uddhava also mentioned to Krishna that just by taking your Mahaprasad, taking your garland, hearing your glories, chanting your name, we are not affected by the material energy. We will not get affected by the material energy. We will always be in touch with you. It's from this story shows how Krishna's mercy is there for everyone, but some people like to remain in darkness, like the owl likes to remain in darkness, it doesn't like to see the sun. So in order to go into deep understanding of our relationship with Krishna, Prabhupada gives a quote. He says, our relationship with Krishna is eternal. We should work on developing our relationship with Krishna. This loneliness is a temporary conditioning. So this loneliness, nowadays we see that COVID is happening, people are feeling lonely and they're getting affected by anxiety, depression, these kind of things. It's just because they're just not happy to overcome the modes of nature. The process of devotion service is that you have to overcome the modes of nature. So the process is given. The acharyas are given their teachings, how to do that. Prabhupada has written all these books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, to help everyone to transcend the modes and come in connection with Krishna. And especially this time, this particular Kali Yuga is called Maha Kali Yuga, it's a merciful Kali Yuga. Because in other Kali Yugas, the Yuga avatar would come and give the process, and those who are qualified, they can take to it, others would not get the mercy. But Lord Chaitanya has come and he's giving it to everyone without discrimination. He's making it available to everyone. So we can see there's a story about Lord Chaitanya when he was a student, known as Nimai Pandit. And he was in the Ganges, near the bank of the Ganges, and playing with his students. So on the way back, Nimai Pandit saw some puppies. He took one of the puppies, which was beautiful, and took it to his house. And he tied it up. So the other students went to Mother Sachi and said, look, because Nimai Pandit was born in a Brahmin family, right? So they're very close in the cleanliness. And having a dog in the house is not very clean. So the students went to Mother Sachi and said, look, your son has done this. So Mother Sachi untied that puppy and the puppy was running down the village. The village at that time, there were villages, right? It wasn't a city, right? And all of a sudden, a plane came from Goloka and that puppy attained his spiritual form and took him back to Goloka. So the demigods, they were praying to
to Lord Chaitanya. Just as you deliver this puppy back to Goloka, please deliver us. So we can see this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He's giving it very easy. We just have to take to this chanting Hare Krishna very seriously. Understand that we are not this body, which Prabhupada is giving very elaborate in his writings, in his books, and through his lectures, he's also elaborating very deeply. There was an interesting story with one of Prabhupada's godbrothers shows how we should strive to come to the spiritual platform. Because if you maintain the emotional platform, it will affect us, the modes will affect us more and more in time. So there's a story which is given. Prabhupada recollects this story to show this point on how important it is to come to the spiritual platform. So one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Jai Shishi Radha Gokulanda Ki Jai. So one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, the wife was having an affair with another paramour. So when the son found out, the mother killed the son. So when the father found out what happened, he committed suicide. So this shows how emotional platform work can do, you know. Now, being a disciple or being a Prabhupada's godbrother, he could have become more introspective and he could have consulted his godbrothers what to do, you know, in this situation and deal with the situation properly, isn't it? So we can see, like Prabhupada says in the Prabhupada, living it is eternal by constitution. He's also speak in the whirlpool of birth and death due to his contact with the material energy. So, as practicing devotees, we have to connect with the Guru Sadhu Shastra line. This is the line which helps us not be affected by the mind. The mind is the worst enemy. But by following Guru Sadhu Shastra, we can overcome this, the platform of the mind. And Prabhupada also emphasizes this in the Bhagavad Gita purports. In chapter 13, he says how one should consult advanced devotees, read the scriptures, and go into discussion so you can become more spiritual in your practices. And the other in the Biyad Bhagavatam, it gives a good understanding on the association of devotees, how that can benefit the whole world, you know, like in all circumstances, one should approach saintly persons, even if one receives no teachings. Spontaneous dialogue with them imparts valuable lessons. When one approaches persons who have real knowledge, emptiness overflows with fullness. Death becomes immortal nectar, and disasters can seem like good fortune. This is Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's given like that. Okay. So this is Kartik Chandrapur giving his understanding on the Mahabharata. He says, one can conquer Krishna, one can Okay, one can conquer Krishna methods of one can never conquer Krishna methods of karma, jnana or yoga. But if one hears Krishna katha from those who are pure hearted, this is the way one can conquer Krishna spiritually. Mahabharata is written to attract people who are into gramya katha or mundane talk. So if one reads Mahabharata, one will become attracted to Krishna, because in Mahabharata, family is discussed, the family within family is discussed. By the same time, for the same point, Krishna is also there. So, so we can see generally in relationships we have in this world, just like someone may have be married, husband and wife relationship, friends relationship, we can see all these relationships are not permanent in terms of, even if you didn't have these relationships, you could still survive in this world. People, there are many people who survive, being bachelors, they survive. But our relationship with Krishna is permanent. It's not like the relationship with other people in the mundane world. Our relationship with Krishna is very close. It's like the sun and sunshine. You can't separate sunshine from sun. So, in the 11th canto purport, 11.6.24, Prabhupada, well, it's given like this. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, many persons are not attracted to authorized Vedic literatures, minimizing the transcendental process of hearing and chanting the glories of the personality of Godhead. They prefer to listen to useless, whimsical vibrations on the radio and television, in newspapers and magazines, and so on. Rather than hear about Krishna from Guru, spiritual master, they endlessly give their own opinions about everything until they are dragged away by the force of time. After studying the temporary limited forms of the material world, they impatiently conclude that the absolute truth is formless. Such persons are actually worshipping Krishna's illusory energy, Maya, who has been authorized to kick their stubborn heads. So after that, Prabhupada gives the other side of it. He says, if someone opens out for Krishna's mercy, then life becomes easy for them. They become happy, blissful. They become joyful. So it's the human life. We have the high intelligence to understand who is God, who is Krishna. Other forms of life, you don't have that. The high intelligence is not there. So it's a rare opportunity. There's 8,400,000 species. The human, civilized human life is very rare. Any questions or comments? Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada, thank you very much. Really amazing points, so much reflection on it. One other point that I really, first I was actually thinking to ask you about Mahabharata and emotion, but later you actually explained it, so thank you very much for that. And the other one, you said really interesting thing, how people who are depressed and who are having anxieties, why they are suffering? Because they don't want to take up the process and transcend the modes. That's why they are suffering. So I'm just like, I was just thinking about that. So the people that are actually maybe in depression, they are like in really like deep tamas. They are trying to practice the spiritual life. They are trying to reach your Bhagavatam chant, but all of this is like so offenseless, you know, with no attention at all. So they are like so disturbed. But again, if they do continue doing that, like with faith and determination, actually, because they're actually building up a habit of goodness by reading, by chanting, associating pure food, like, you know, pure spiritual food. So actually, they are actually getting less and less in tamas and getting more rice, and in one point they are more concentrated and actually they kind of burst out. So is this how the process goes? Because sometimes I feel like people in depression, they're so far from actually reaching the, you know, transcendence.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Thank you for that, Master Prabhu. Nice points also, Roberto Prabhu. You said about Mahabharata, you know, helping us with emotion. Family within the family, Krishna included. Is there more to it? Like understanding different concepts of Mahabharata will help us feel fulfilled emotionally?
No, just it's all there. It helps you. Just read it. You see the. It goes into all these families, dynasties. What they're feeling, it goes to many feelings, what others are feeling. You see it. The thing is, when you read these books, you shouldn't, even Prabhupada says, read Bhagavatam, and you shouldn't just read it like a storybook, you have to try and enter it, be part of it. Then you find all your questions get answered. If one reads it like a mythology, it won't get much benefit. Something will be there, not so much. Like Prabhupada says in the preface to Bhagavad Gita that if someone doesn't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the Bhagavad Gita has no meaning. Isn't it? So we have to accept who Krishna is and try and be part of that lila, you know.
What does emotionally fulfilled mean?
Well, emotionally fulfilled means you're self-satisfied. It's like eating, you know. Once you're full up, you don't have any more of a certificate, do you? So it's like that.
Thank you.
It occurred to me that, you know, like you're saying, you become absorbed in these topics of Krishna consciousness. And Jivapati, one of the things he was asked, he says, what do you recommend people to do? He says, you know, what do you advise people to do to improve their Krishna consciousness? He says, you just have to remember that whatever time you have, just do something Krishna conscious. Read something Krishna conscious. Just think about something Krishna conscious. No matter what it is, but everything should be just keep your consciousness and everything focused on any topics to do with Krishna consciousness. Don't deviate from that. He says, and this is all I can say, that actually just become involved with Krishna conscious topics, nothing else.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, has you got a question?
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for the class. You mentioned that the Mahabharata is meant for those who are less intelligent, and you gave the example of women and children. Can you clarify what you meant by that?
Well, generally, I mean, Prabhupada says, I'm just reading what Prabhupada says, like, Prabhupada gives an example. He says, just like a young man, he can travel the world by himself, right? Even if he's 16 or he can travel the world.
And he will not be affected, you know, in his troubles around the world. Some other he'll be. But if a woman cannot travel like that by herself around the world, because chances of for her to get exploited is there. So women and children require protection from seniors. And Prabhupada also mentions this point about how in India, he mentions about England how they have the queen is there, but in India they will never have a woman as a prime minister or something. In the past it never happened. Right? Even it shows how even they tried to get Indira Gandhi to, Prabhupada was trying to get her to become a good leader, you know, so benefit India spiritually. But somehow she was trying to force herself into the Jagannath temple or something. I heard some story like that. And in Jagannath temple, they don't allow anyone just to go in like that. If they're not from an Indian background, they're very strict on certain things. And soon after that, she did do some good in terms of allowing Prabhupada's disciples to go to India, getting permanent visa and all these kind of things. But soon after that, she left her body. Generally it says women require protection from seniors and parents and like that. Then they're like children, you know, they require protection. There could be rare exceptions where a woman is advanced. That's not so common, but it can be there. But in general, they require protection.
Thank you, Prabhu, for that class and that explanation. Just wanted to add to that. I think Prabhupada's commentaries are obviously time, place, and circumstance. And it's not that they're less intelligent, it's more around the innocence. Like Srinivas Prabhu was saying, women, children, elderly, etc., because they're innocent, they're easily led. It can be misled. And so that's what Prabhupada means. Less intelligent. He doesn't mean less intelligent from an intellect perspective. Everybody can develop their intellect. That's definitely there. It just means that, you know, you don't want to be in a position where you're easily misled, you know, like that. Thank you. I have another point around Karna. You mentioned Karna and how he was forgetting his abilities. I think he was also cursed by his guru, Parashuram, because of him for not telling a truth at that time that he wasn't a Brahmana or a Kshatriya rather, when he was getting the teachings from Parashuram. And then when he was bitten by a scorpion or a bug, he didn't scream and shout and disturb the sleep of Parashuram. So then Parashuram understood that this was somebody far more controlled than a common Brahmana. He was more of a Kshatriya. And so Parashuram cursed him that whatever I've taught you, when you need it the most, you will forget. And so therefore, I think the episodes we've seen in the Mahabharata around how his wheel was stuck in the earth, and when he did eventually manage to take that out, he wasn't able to remember his skills. And also this bit about how he didn't use the weapons against Arjuna, it was the fact that he had forgotten because of those aspects. Of course Krishna also plays his part in making people forget what they shouldn't do. So I just wanted to reflect on that and how we should also take advice from that in order to read the scriptures in a more honest and humble way, so then they can reveal these things to us
give us the intelligence to be able to apply that in our lives. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hari Bol. Anyone else? Antaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai, Prabhupada, ki jai.